Brother John is going to have a class prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, give you all the praise and glory that you deserve as our Heavenly Father, as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Father, we're thankful to be able to meet together, fellowship, to worship you, and to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Jesus gave his life. He came down from heaven and taught us and was a great example and started his church in which we can be a part of yet today, Lord, and we're thankful for that. Lord, we know some can't be here for different reasons as to difficulties, illnesses, and we just pray for them that you lift them up, give them sunshine in their life some way, somehow, Lord. And if it be your will that they be healed, that they can return to us, that we can again worship together with them and rejoice in that. Father, help us as our minds today focus on spiritual things and biblical things that we might absorb and be uplifted. We're so thankful to be able to be here in a safe, warm place and worship you as we please and as we know you would have us to do. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
2 weeks ago, we began to consider some selected passages from the book of Proverbs, and we will continue on with that this morning. Anyone need a Bible today? The Old Testament? We, before we got into the Proverbs, we looked at very briefly some of the part of the life of Solomon, who is the writer of Proverbs. And we know that God blessed Solomon from the very beginning, that it said of Solomon that God loved him. And as he came to the throne at an early age, God asked him what he could do for him to help him out. And Solomon, of course, asked, did this anyway? And they led him away from the commands of God and the respect that he should have had for the commands of God. So God reminds him to, and in us today as well, we take these proverbs and apply them then to us today, because they're very much wisdom that we can gain as well. Obey, keep the commandments, walk in the ways of God, follow him in all things. Then we turned over to the second chapter, and we were looking at verses 1 through 10, and we had talked about some of these verses. No, don't think I'll read these again. You can, if you're following along in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, that again, Solomon is reminding that we need to receive the words. He says, if you receive the words and treasure them in your heart, the commands that I give you, incline your ear to wisdom, give heed to the things that you hear, cry out for discernment, and we talked about that was in prayer primarily, seek the wisdom of God in prayer, lift up your voice in seeking this wisdom, seek it as you would seek a valuable treasure, something that is hidden. So you put in some effort to seek this hidden treasure. And then he says in verse 5, then if you do that, you will understand the fear of the Lord. And this is something that Solomon is going to talk about over and over. And we talked about what that meant. That means to obey, to reverence, to give God the glory that he is due. All of these things are contained when he says, fear the Lord. And you will find knowledge of God, he says in verse 5, for the Lord gives wisdom. We know that we will be blessed with wisdom if we seek it from his word. From his mouth, he says in verse 6, comes knowledge and understanding. So that we know the source. We know where we can get knowledge and understanding and wisdom from the mouth of God, from his word. And so that's kind of where we had gotten to. I'd like to go ahead and consider then the last few verses here of this, verses 7 on down through verse 10. I'll read those for you. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand justice and righteousness, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. So he keeps repeating these things, and the reason he keeps repeating them is because they're so important, and they're so important for us. And we all know that we need to be reminded and repeated. We hear things, and we know them and understand them, but then they kind of get away from our minds if we don't come back to them over and over, and that's what Solomon is doing here. If you do these things, you will understand then the fear of the Lord, the respect, the reverence. You'll understand that we need to obey and find the knowledge of God. And so this is something that we seek. We have to. It's not something that just comes to us automatically. We're not born with this. So it's something that we have to seek. We have to understand and we have to know. And when we do, then we will be able to follow and obey and do the things that God asks us to do. God gives the wisdom from his mouth, knowledge and understanding. There is a storehouse, Solomon says, of sound wisdom. It is stored up. It will never run out. No matter how much wisdom we attain from God, no matter how much we ask, this wisdom will never run out as far as what God will bless us with. It will be a shield. It will be protection from the wisdom of the world. And that's what we need protection from, isn't it? From the wisdom of the world so that we don't get sidetracked. If we walk uprightly, Solomon says that God guards the path of the right and protects and preserves the godly. God's ways and path are the right ways. They are eternal. They do not change. So then he sums it up, the summation of all of this. He says, we will understand righteousness. We will understand rightness before God. We will know what is right before him, what is fair, and we will know every good path. God has set the path before us, and we should not stray from it. The wisdom that will enter into our heart. And what are we talking about when we say heart? What are we referring to?
Mind.
The mind primarily, isn't it? That when wisdom will enter our mind, and the mind is what controls us, all of our thoughts emanate from our mind. Our actions then, the words that we say, then the knowledge of God will be something that is we welcome in our lives. It's not something that we shun or try to put out of our lives, but it's something that will be welcome. It will be pleasant for us. And as we consider these words that Solomon wrote, we can also consider again how Solomon reacted and how much different his life would have been had he followed the things that he was writing here and the things that God gave him to write. He did not seek the wisdom of God as he should have, but he used his power, his influence, his wealth, seeking the wisdom of the world. And he records for us that search in Ecclesiastes. We're familiar with that. But he realized too late that all of this seeking was vanity, empty and vain. And we, of course, don't have the wealth and the power that Solomon had, but we do have control of our lives. God has granted us free will. So we have control of what we seek and where we seek, and the wisdom that is in the world or the wisdom that is from God. Those are the choices that we have, and Solomon's going to continue to talk about that as he goes on here in the book of Proverbs. He's going to talk about, and we're going to look at two or three more verses about the wisdom and the respect that we have for God, and so we'll look at a few more verses there. But before we do, I'll pause there for your comments on these verses in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10.
I don't remember in chapter 1 if you covered this verse, but when Solomon was talking about those things pertaining to wisdom, and of course that was the wisdom that just came through Solomon from the Holy Spirit. And he said, they are a graceful garland for your head and a pendant for your neck. So, and especially in this Christian era, when the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ is abundant and abounding in our lives, and people see good works, because that's what we were created for, according to the New Testament scripture. And if those things abound in us, people will see. And they will glorify God if we give God the credit. And then, going to chapter 2, then in verse 8 or 9, then you will understand righteousness. And, you know, isn't that a thing we grow into, knowing exactly what righteousness is? I know I wondered, what should I be doing? What's that all about? And then we find out it's the practicing of righteousness, living as Jesus did and responding to people like Jesus did. And it said, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. So, you know, I think we grow into those things too. I think we take some wrong turns and we find out they're dead ends. But when we surrender to this, and we, one of the passages says, how does wisdom enter to your heart and mind? You know, some people, when they hear the gospel and words of wisdom, they reject it. They don't like it. They don't want to do those things. They don't want to give up things that they like to do that are the ways of the world. And so, how does it enter our life? How does it enter our thinking? You know, do we receive it with joy and gladness and with surety of understanding, and that we practice it? When we hear a thing that is right that we're not doing, we do it. We start doing it. We give up the old practice. We start doing righteousness and practicing righteousness as Jesus and his apostles showed us. So, does it enter us with gladness, the knowledge of God? And does that come out in our lives and the things that we do? These are very important, like you said. Why is it talked about and talked about? Because that is the greatest thing we need, is to understand the wisdom of God and understand that our life is not, our life here is not the main thing. Yeah. Life will end and eternal life will begin. And that's the main thing. We can have all the wisdom, but understanding that there is eternal life and we will live with the consequences of our life here.
Very good. Thank you very much. And as you said, the reason that many people reject it is because it comes with responsibilities. And People don't want the responsibilities. They don't want the things that come with it. They're perfectly willing to read it and know it, but they're not willing to accept the responsibilities that come with it. And very good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay, let's go on and look at another passage. And Solomon's not going to leave this subject. We're going to look at two or three more passages that talk about these same things, but in a little bit different way. Let's turn to chapter 3, and we'll consider verses down through, about 7 or 8 or so. Let's do 1 through 4 first. Chapter 3, 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them in the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So we've talked about this before, that the heart is really the mind that he's referring to here, and that this is what controls our thoughts and actions, words, and they are, again, are tied to our obedience. He says, do not forget it. Take it in. Don't forget it. Be keeper of the commands. If we do, Solomon says, we'll have peace, length of days, long life will be the results. And I think in this, we consider this, that this is not in the absolute. It is not telling us that if we do these things that we're going to live to 110 or something like that. I think what he's saying is that peace and contentment and health and happiness will be ours if we keep his commandments. It'll be good for us both physically and especially be good for us spiritually. We know that we will be tried. We know we'll be tested. But that does not mean that God does not care, that God does not look down upon us with his care and mercy, even though we are tempted and we're tested. But we don't consider this to be punishment from God. They can make us stronger if we overcome, if we endure those things. Solomon says that the kindness of God and the truth of God are like our anchor. They're, bind them around your neck. Do not leave them, so that they are both available to you physically. You got it bound. If you had this book tied around your neck, and it's there, and it's available to you at all times physically. And then he says, write them on a tablet of your heart. So this is available to us spiritually as well. We want it in our hearts. Not just have the book tied around our neck and read it occasionally, but write it, what we read, that we take it into our hearts. It is so important, and Solomon repeats this many times. Take it into your mind. Take it into your heart. And there's one reward, Solomon says, for this. If we do that, you will find favor and good repute and understanding among God and man. Now, again, I do not think that this is, he's saying that we try to please men in all things, because we know we cannot do that. If we try to please men too much, then we will not be pleasing God. But if we do these things, he says, you will find favor with men. And this is really an important point here for us today, I think. If we want to have any influence with our fellow man, we need to be and have a favorable report among them. If we don't, they're not going to consider what we have to say if we're not looked upon by them and other men favorably. So this is something that comes to us not only in being considered by God in a favorable way, but it is also something that will help us to be have a good and favorable report among men. And then also, as Solomon says, God will also look upon us in a favorable way if we do these things. So those are some thoughts on verses 1 through 4. We'll open it up for your comments as well. There's a lot here. So
I going back to the last chapter, that, you know, how does wisdom enter our mind? And when those things become pleasant for us, you know, a lot of good things happen. And I always like to think, how does this relate to my life here today? And so I look at verse 2, for length of days and long life shall be added. You know, God gives us the exact number of days that we can glorify Him in our life and be content with that number. And I think of all the people I know that have died from just their body wore out, long life in their 90s, and they just couldn't get around anymore. But they died with a sense of peace. They went to their bed at night and laid their head down, knowing that they, if they should not wake, that they would be in paradise with their next conscious thought. And that is a peace that passes all understanding and is the greatest gift that the Savior gives us through His salvation, is that we have, we lie in a state of peace with the Father in heaven. And those things, they're just wonderful. And that's the result of living with the wisdom of God in our heart, and knowing and putting our faith in that. And, you know, I think of what we have seen in our lifetime. We've seen people die with ALS in a terrible way. And what grace filled their life in every day. They rejoiced in the Lord in spite of what they were suffering. And in cancer, we've seen people die with cancer. And they just knew where they're going to end up. And they laid in their bed and endured the number of days that was allotted to them with joy and thanksgiving and a sense of relief and peace. And now they're in the arms of Jesus in paradise. And on we could go, but that is the... That's where it ends. That's what it's all about. You know, living for Jesus, letting that shine, and knowing where we will end up.
Very good. Thank you. That comes from our faith and our trust in Him, and know that what God said, and He says it, that it will come to pass. Yeah, Paul.
I was going to say that Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7 kind of speaks to this, as well as other places, but it reads, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So, the Apostle Paul spoke to this also.
Yeah. That's the wisdom of God again, isn't it? But to a different person, but still the wisdom and the promise of God. Yeah. Ed?
I was going to say in verse 4 about finding understanding in the sight of God and man. I have talked to several people who visit this congregation regularly. I'm one of the things that they relate is your friendliness, and that they all seem like really good people that do good things. And so We might not often hear about that, but we can be an interesting people to the outside world. And sometimes they want to know more about that. How do you get that way? And so just living like God would want us to, and like these verses point out, is very important. Because I've heard them, the same people say they've been to places where they just didn't feel good about the people around them. So that's a very important part of our life, is to be good people doing good works in the name of Jesus Christ, and that will be a light that will at least people take notice. And if you can get people noticing, the Word of God might become interesting to them. So,
very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. I'd like to go on and consider the next few verses here in this same chapter, chapter 3, and verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So some of the same things he's said, but he's saying it in a different way. He gives some positive and he gives some negative exhortations here in these verses. Our heart is what controls everything in our lives. It controls our trust in God, our faith in God, that He will do everything that He has said, that He has promised. The righteous shall live by faith. Know that. The word all that He uses in these verses is really all, isn't it? It's everything. It encompasses everything that we might be thinking about. We don't look for other sources for our faith and trust in God, do we? This is all that we have. This is all that we need. We don't trust God with 50% of our all. That's not all, is it? So we trust in God and we have our faith in God with all that we have. And then that leads us then into what he says next. Do not lean on your own understanding. And man, does this trip us up sometimes. We get leaning on our own understanding. We trust in ourselves to know what we need to do and what's right rather than leaning on God and what He said. There's going to be times in our lives when we're not going to understand the providence of God. God's ways are so much higher than ours. But at the same time, if we lean on our own understanding rather than on the understanding and our trust and faith in God, it's not going to be good for us if we do that. We trust in God's providence. We trust in God's goodness. We trust that God knows what is best for us in our lives. And then he says our ways are to be God's ways. We acknowledge God again in all things, and He will direct our path. He will make them straight. He will make them smooth. Our path will be God's path, and that is such an important thing that we need to remember, that our path is to be God's path, not our own path, not a path that is directed by our own understanding rather than the understanding of God and our faith and trust in Him. As we're on the path, we don't look over here for another path. We don't take a detour. We follow the path that God has set forth for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him as the only way. There is no other way. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And that has been trouble with for mankind from the very beginning, hasn't it? Satan was lifted up with pride, And he trusted in his own wisdom, and it resulted in him being cast down from heaven. Eve in the garden, when she saw that the fruit was good, that it would make her wise, she ate of the fruit which God had told her not to do. Solomon, given a great gift of wisdom and understanding, and God blessed him more than any king of the day. But at the same time, when he began to lean on his own understanding and try to do the things that he wanted to do and the things that were wise in his own eyes, then he fell. When he began to marry foreign women, Solomon said, well, that's no problem. You know, God said not to. When he began to worship idols, he was essentially saying, no problem. And we know that Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow him fully. And this is the way of the world, isn't it? To lean on our own understanding, to follow the things that we want to follow. We substitute the wisdom of God for our wisdom, for our understanding. Pride in our own wisdom. There are temptations that we will all face. I know what God said, but I don't really believe this is what God meant. So I'm going to do it this way. If we're wise in our own eyes, we're blinded then to the wisdom of God. That's as simple as that. Fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, repeated several times. Turn away from evil. Job 28 and 28 says, and to man he, referring to God, said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So godly wisdom and understanding will be spiritual health for us. It's good for our body. It's refreshment to our bones, Solomon says. Christian virtues are good for us, physically, I believe. They're good for our health, sobriety, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, gentleness, calmness, forgiveness, self-control. All of these things, I think, are good for us spiritually, for sure. But I think also good for us physically. They're good for our bodies. They're good for our bones. And then he says, it. And that word is referring back to all of the things that he has said in the previous verses. Keep my commandments with all of your heart. Wrap kindness around your neck. Write them on your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean or trust in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Well, that's quite a paragraph, isn't it? That's quite a paragraph. So we'll pause right there for your comments on these verses. Chapter 3, verses 1 down through verse 8.
In regards to verse 8, I would say, you know, and you mentioned this before, it's not a guarantee that we will have great health and long days and so forth, but it is true that evil affects our body, mind, and soul. And a lot of things people suffer for late in life are because of the evil they did in their younger days. And, you know, when we avoid all kinds of misconduct, we're going to escape all kinds of future and present problems. And so, like you said, when we follow the right path, it's not guaranteed that we're not going to get cancer or anything, but that our minds will be refreshed and our body will be refreshed in our faith. And ultimately, we will rise in newness of life in a perfect body that will have no pain. But so it's... And you know, the refreshment aspect stays with us forever, as long as we live. And that refreshment comes from knowing what our future is. And, you know, evil takes that away from us.
Very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate the comments very much. Okay, let's look, let's consider another verse. And again, these are things that Solomon repeats in a different way and different places. But over in chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And we've mentioned before the part that pride sometimes plays in leading people astray, because they become lifted up with pride and think their ways and their knowledge and their wisdom is better than God's wisdom. So this is something that the fear and respect and the reverence of God will instruct us in wisdom. If we have that, we will understand more fully the wisdom of God. God's wisdom of His ways, which we've already talked about, the correct path that we follow, this will give us the knowledge and wisdom to know and to understand in our mind and in our heart what we are to do. It will then correct us when we stray if we know the wisdom and the knowledge of God and what He requires and the commands that He has set forth for us. When we do stray, then the thing we do is we humble ourselves, and then we will give God the respect and reverence that is due to Him, and allow ourselves to be then instructed in the knowledge and the wisdom of God. And the honor that we will receive will be due to the to our yielding to God. Passage over in Romans, you're familiar with this one too, I'm sure, chapter 2 in Romans, verses 6 through 10. Chapter 2, 6 through 10. Who will render, speaking of God, to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But honor and glory and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So glory and honor are waiting for those who honor God and serve Him. It's going to come back to us. If we honor God, God's going to honor us. To all those who continue on in doing what is good, and to every man that worketh good, but on the other hand, those that do not, then there is a judgment awaiting them. So we'll pause right there for your comments on this verse here, 15:33.
One of the things that comes to mind here when it talks about being instruction, we have to be teachable. We have to learn. And when we need correcting, we need to recognize it. If we aren't instructed, we won't recognize it. So we have to be teachable. And the thing we need to keep in mind is there's a reward for not only following the instructions of God, but when we stray from them and come back, we need to know that our reward is there again. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be teachable.
Yeah. And one of the things we, I think one of the verses we've already looked at says, if you receive it, so you've got to receive it. As you say, you've got to be teachable. You've got to be willing to take it and understand it. Yeah. Ed?
Yeah, this verse reminds me of Acts, the second chapter, when those that received the word and repented and were baptized, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, which is teaching or instruction. And that was not their word. Those were the words of Jesus given to them by the Holy Spirit. And with full authority, that is the way. And that is the truth. And that's what we need to be instructed in. And every person should be like the Bereans. Look into the scriptures. Don't just take what any man says, but look into the scriptures and prove them for yourself. Test them to see whether they are true. Because instruction in righteousness is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom hopefully it turns to understanding. And without it, we're going to be in a sorry place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. It's a path that we seek it, we understand it, and then we obey it. And that's the path that we need to take, not just understanding it, but be willing to then to follow it. Thank you very much. We appreciate your thoughts for us this morning. We'll, Lord willing, take this up again next time we're together. Thank you.